ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
भोगैश्वर्य प्रसक्तानां
भोगैश्वर्य प्रसक्तानां
तयापकृत चेतसां व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः समाधौ न विधीयते। फिर से कृष्ण बोलिया सही जी भोगवान चक्करी निकटस्थ माया तरी जपठिया धरे। फिर से व्हेन द लिविंग बीइंग वांट्स टू भोग और एनी एंजॉयमेंट दैट इज सेपरेट फ्रॉम कृष्ण देन एट वंस द माया कैप्चर्स हिम and then subjects him in this material world to varieties of suffering. That is why everyone in this world, according to Shastra, compares to somebody having a fever or some kind of disease, some kind of malady. Everyone in this world is wandering here and there, looking for happiness, but at the same time they see that the happiness is always escaping from their hands. That is the way this world is created. We want to enjoy, but although we want to enjoy unlimitedly and avoid all sufferings, we just get the opposite. That means we get unlimited suffering and the enjoyment is wiped out or taken away. That is the way the world is created. So these words are very important, the bhoga and aishwarya. Can somebody guess or try to say what this bhoga could mean? Enjoyment or aishwarya. What do you think is being spoken here? Attachment to sense enjoyment and material opulence. What kind of enjoyment is being spoken here? Yeah? Anybody? Sense gratification, that's also called a sense enjoyment, yeah. I would like to have a little more explanation. What are the things to which we become attached to or attracted to in this world? What is being spoken here? Krishna is saying that if you become attached to those things, then you will not be able to have a resolute determination in Krishna consciousness. That's what he is saying here. Six opulences like beauty and wealth. Family. Anything else you can think of? Name, fame, and followers. Okay. So each of us have many things that we can become attached to. We all have many, many things, but generally they are classified like the most of you are telling the answer. Basically, one may be first of all become attracted to one's own body. Selfish. One is attracted to one's own body. Then one may become attached to land, increasing one's kingdom or having more and possessing more and more land. One can become attached to that. One can become attached to possessing gold, silver and wealth, abundant wealth. And to top it all, the strongest of the attraction in this world is attraction to the opposite sex. So in this way there are many attractions in this world which keep us bound in this world. Krishna is talking about them. Bhoga aishwarya prasaktana taya apasrita chetasam. So one may wonder, if one is attached to all these things, one wants to enjoy life, have vast expanses of land and have wealth, family, children, society and job. With all these things, what's the problem? What's wrong in that? Why should these things be condemned here? For understanding this, we have to understand the nature of the so-called enjoyments in this world. As I was telling you a little time ago, that our condition in this world is like that of a man with fever. If somebody has fever, do you think the food will be tasty? No. What happens when you have fever? The food is bitter, it's not all tasty. Even if somebody brings you a plate full of very nice dishes to eat, you just can't enjoy it. It's not possible. It is very distasteful, bitter. So at the time of fever, the doctor gives you some medicine on one hand, and he also asks you to follow some patya. You know patya? Patya means you have to abstain from certain things. You are allowed to eat certain things, and you have to abstain from certain things. Like for example, say somebody has a diabetes. So what should he avoid? He should avoid all the sweets. Or somebody has typhoid, they have to avoid oily items. They can't eat. At the same time, they are also given some medicine also to cure that disease. So the medicine gradually will take effect and gradually the disease will be completely cured. But at the same time, they also have to follow the patya very carefully. Like if a boy having typhoid is eating puri, then the disease cannot be cured. Then the disease will become aggravated more. It will become more serious. You want to say sentence? So the disease can become more aggravated. So when we are living in the world, we are having this material fever, due to which our desire for enjoying is very, very strong. It's very, very strong. And that desire for enjoying is manifesting in various ways. One of the natures of enjoyment is that you go deeper and deeper and deeper wanting to enjoy more and more and more. And it appears there is no end of it. There is no end of it. When Srila Prabhupada went to the West, he saw in San Francisco there was a hippie hill. So Prabhupada went to that place. In that evening, in the hippie hill, hundreds of hippies used to come. See, these hippies are not ordinary people, they come from very good families. So many of them would be wearing very less dresses in their bodies. You know, two piece and one piece and half piece and quarter piece like that. There would be very little dress in their bodies. And they would take drugs, drug injections and drugs. And they wanted to go high. They wanted to somehow or other achieve some higher plane on which they can enjoy life. There was nothing in this world which they did not do. They had drunken wine, they had all kinds of enjoyments, and they have had free sex with so many people. Sex was very cheap for them, it's very easily available. And similarly, they have had enough money, they have had the best of the cars, and they come from very, very well-to-do families. And they have had surfing in the oceans, flying in the gliders, and they have seen the movies, they have acted, they have sung with different instruments. After trying all these things, when they got fed up with life, so they came to the hippie hut, and they would all gather together there, and they heard that maybe if you take some LSD or marijuana, things like that, then that will take you to some higher platform where you can feel some kind of exalted state. So you can feel some kind of happiness. So now this question can come to our mind. These people had practically everything in life to enjoy. Why they were not getting enjoyment? Somebody can say. Why they could not enjoy life happily? See, generally people think you need wealth and facilities to enjoy life. But these people had that all. Why they could not enjoy? What was missing in their lives? Has anybody can say? Yeah? Yeah? You mean to say that they had everything except God in their life, so they were suffering. Somebody else said, peace of mind. They didn't have peace of mind. Why they didn't have peace of mind with all these things? They had everything. Why they were not satisfied? What was the reason? They wanted more and more. So these things, they offer us some kind of happiness, but that happiness will not be long lasting. The happiness you get through these things, that will not last for a long time. Not possible. All these things, even the drugs by which they were taking, it would give them some kind of kick. It will take them to a higher position. And then again it will come down and take them to depression. And then in order to avoid the depression, again they will take drugs. It will take them high. And then again it will bring them down like this. See, all these agents do the same thing. Coffee contains caffeine, tea contains nicotine. So they give you a feeling of kick. They take you high. But then when they drink down, even cigarette also. See, many times people smoke cigarette in order to avoid the tension. And in fact, it appears to you that you avoid tension when you smoke a cigarette. Because it's like, what do you call it? Tantalizer, you call it?
Tranquilizer.
Tranquilizer. It momentarily stretches your nerves to make you feel that now you are all right. But then, again when you come back to normal platform, it takes you down. If this is the average platform in which you are in, it takes you high and then it brings you like this down. Then depression, not avoid depression, one more cigarette and you go like this. Again it comes down. Then third one, fourth one. So you go to several packets, 3 packets, 4 packets, 6 packets, 8 packets a day like that. And then you just go and then one becomes a chain smoker like that. So these people also, they were taking to different types of bhoga, different types of enjoyment. But the nature of bhoga, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. He tells Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, I have created this world in such a way that even as people try to enjoy, the more one tries to enjoy, the more his hankering for enjoyment will increase. It is exactly like pouring ghee in fire. If you put ghee in fire, what will happen to fire? It will grow even more. Dushpurena anirena cha. It grows even more bigger. And then the fire grows bigger, bigger, bigger. What I am telling now, this can be practically experienced by every one of us. The desire we have for enjoying, it doesn't come to a point where you feel satiation and satisfaction. Rather, when you enjoy these material objects of this world, you want to enjoy more and more. For example, I'll ask you about money, for example. In Bhagavatam, 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj says, money is sweeter than honey, he says, for the people of this world. Because money is the mode of exchange of happiness in this world. So he says, people are ready to lay down their lives in order to get money. You see, a merchant, sometimes he is ready to travel in a ship in the midst of a vast ocean like Atlantic Ocean to go to another country to earn money and come. There may be a shipwreck and he may lose his life, but he is ready to lay his life. Similarly, a thief sometimes climbs on the wall of a rich man's house. Although he knows there is a burglar alarm, there may be a huge dog standing there to bite him, or he may be shot dead. With all this risk, he still enters into the bungalow and he wants to somehow steal. At the cost of his own life, he does this kind of stealing. Similarly, somebody may join an army as a soldier. Just a couple of days ago, I met a boy. So he is joining Indian Air Force as a pilot. So I asked him, what was his impetus in joining Indian Air Force? So I asked him, are you very interested to lay down your life in the army, in the battle against Pakistan or whatever? So he said, no, not at all. He said, I have done my BCom and after that I have been struggling for a job like anything. At last I landed up in this job. After a lot of interviews and everything, I got this job now. And it is paying me really well. I'm getting some 15,000-20,000 now. So that is why I have decided to join. Then I told him, do you know there is a life risk in this? So you are becoming Krishna conscious now, but there is a life risk for you. Anytime, they are going to train him in a fighter aircraft, going in a single plane. And you hear of so many crashes, quite often it comes in the newspaper. And what to speak of wars, like India-Pakistan war. And any time it may break out, the world situation is not so good now. Already America, Iraq is fighting. India-Pakistan might crop up any time. So he said, yeah, the danger is very much there, but what can I do? I have to earn my money. So people are ready to lay down their life for the sake of earning money. Money is greater than honey. So Prabhupada Maharaj says that one should learn contentment. One should learn to be satisfied. If one is risking this human form of life simply for the sake of earning money, then he is not considered very intelligent. Because the human body is not meant only for accumulating wealth. Is that so? Is it meant only for earning money, this body? What is the purpose of human form? Who knows? What is the purpose of human form of life? Yes? What are we supposed to do with human life, human body? What do you think is the best thing you could do with human body? Somebody can say? Wise man? Any of you? Mr. Tyagi, you can tell what is the best thing you could do with the human body? Feel free to say it, whatever comes to mind. You know it actually. So let's just bring it up. Yes, Anand knows. Anand? What is the best thing you could do with human body? Come closer to God. Very good. That's the answer. So human form of life has, you are endowed with the intelligence by which you can come closer to God. So one shouldn't get carried away by that. Similarly, I was telling you about money from Prahlad Maharaj. Also, the attraction for opposite sex. In those days, the kings had somebody called Vishakanya. You all know Vishakanya? Who is the Vishakanya? Vishakanya are girls who are born of mostly prostitutes or who are born very beautiful. Right from their childhood, like when they are 5 years or 6 years, they would feed them poison. And they would keep on eating poison little by little by little. And then when they grow up, their body will be like full of poison. And the kings would use them as a tool to cheat the other king. That's a practical story that happened in India. One great king, he invaded another country and he defeated thoroughly all the other people, and in this way he took over the whole kingdom of that king. And at last he went to the palace, and now the king along with his ministers, they went into the palace to see how the palace is. All the people had escaped from there, and some of them were arrested and taken to jail and everything. So the king went there, he entered the palace and he wanted to go to the original king's room. So went to the king's room, which was a huge hall with huge doors and everything. So the king said, now at last we have invaded and we have conquered now. Let me take rest. So he was taking rest in the bed and he bolted the door. And there was a small hurricane lamp. But then he heard a breathing sound which was coming from the bottom of the distant cot on which he was lying. He immediately jumped up, taking his sword. Tell me, who is that? He was shouting. Then out came a very beautiful girl, and she was weeping and crying, and with folded palms she said, my dear king, actually I happen to be the daughter of that king, previous king. Just look at that hole. She showed a hole in the top. My father and my brother and all of them escaped through that hole. And they even put a rope for me to escape. And I was trying to climb it and I couldn't catch it because I was not used to all these things. So they left me behind and they all ran away. So then she fell at his feet and said, please forgive me. And I am left all alone. I have nobody to protect me. You only can protect me. And hearing this, the king at once felt a great sympathy for her. Oh, don't worry. I am here to protect you. There is nothing to fear. I will not do anything to you. I will not kill you. Then the king fell in love with her. He said, I can marry you. If you don't mind, I can marry you. She said, oh, that's very nice. Then he took his sword. In those days, they used to keep the sword in the middle. Here, and they would take out blood and put a sindoor like that he was doing that. In the meantime, the ministers are battering the door. King, open the door, open the door. It's very urgent. And then she again went down the cart and he went and opened the door. He asked, what is this? Why are you disturbing my king? And the minister said, we are seeing at a long distance. Some army is coming, huge army is coming. And we showed our signs. You know, those days they used to have some kind of code and signals. You show like this, around, and they will show a fire like this. Then that means that they have understood who you are and they know you and you know them like that. You have to show one symbol. See, if you show a symbol like this, and they have to show a symbol like this, something like that. They used to have some signals like that. So the minister said, we are showing signals, but they are not able to give the proper signals back, which goes to show that they are not our friends, they are our enemies. So my dear king, please come immediately. We have to organize our army and we have to be prepared to tackle them. King said, no, I am very tired. So you all go and manage the thing. Allow me to take this. Again he bolted the door. And he lied down. Again he was talking to her. In this way, after marrying her, when he embraced her and when she gave her a kiss, one moment the king died on the spot. He fell down. Then the ministers, they broke open the door. When they broke open the door and came inside, This Vishakanya was so much trained that she ran to that rope, she climbed up the rope herself. And she jumped out and she immediately jumped on a horse and she flew from there. No soldiers could even catch her after that. So why I was telling the story, the attraction for the opposite sex in this world is very, very strong. And people have a mad attraction, especially in the modern times. People's attraction for this is so strong. When you go even in a city like Pune or Bombay, Bombay is worse, but Pune is also becoming worse. You see, people are not so dressed properly. You think they are all very poor that they don't have any dress to buy? And yet you feel like that? They are so poor they can't wear proper dress. They want to expose their body to attract the opposite sex. Actually, in the Vedic culture, man and woman were kept separate. This was the main reason. Like if a woman is married and she is staying at home and man goes to office, by this the woman is protected at home. And because the husband is earning and bringing money, then the wife has a lot of respect for the husband naturally. She considers him to be in a higher position. At the same time, she is able to pay attention to the children at home. She is able to shower love upon the children. And she is here, ready. When the husband comes from the office in the evening, she is ready to receive him. Prepare some nice footsteps for him and offer him like that. But in modern times, everyone goes for job and everyone goes out and everyone works in the same office. And because of which, when man has easy access to other women, then there can be adultery. There can be misbehavior. And it may become very difficult, especially if women don't dress properly and man gets easy access to them. Then man exploits them. You can ask secretaries working in offices how much difficulties they have working with men. Men are like animals in the office sometimes. They have to exploit women. And women have to earn money. She has to worry about her children and husband at home at the same time, protect herself from the animalistic men. It's very, very tough actually. Of course, I don't say in ISKCON all the women are housewives, nobody goes for a job. Because the work situation is so bad that sometimes husband and wife both have to work. But I am telling about the glory of Vedic life. That is why when the situation is better at home, as far as possible the woman remains home, like Mother Satyavati Mataji in Pune also. She was working for a bank, she was a cashier and she became a manager of the bank. She was in a big position. At one point of time she just gave up everything. She said, now my husband has enough money and I would rather spend time in taking care of the children. She just stayed at home like that. Many devotees do like that, though they are talented enough to have a job and earn a lot like that. So the nature of bhoga is that, you know, if one enjoys one woman, not satisfied, and second and third and fourth and fifth and tenth and twentieth, one may enjoy unlimited, you know, probably one may get AIDS and one may die. In the modern times, AIDS is the prominent disease. But there is no end to this enjoyment. It's like unlimited, it's like ever-increasing fire. It's like ever-increasing fire. And also when one endeavors for enjoyment also, when one enjoys, it gives a kind of hallucinatory, momentary pleasure. You see, as you said several times before, we are not this body, we are the soul, Atma. See, this body is simply like a shirt. This body is simply like a shirt or some kind of vehicle. Inside which the soul is sitting. So with this body, when you try to enjoy, actually the body suffers. We think we are enjoying. Anybody remember the example of camel? I gave the camel eating the thorns. Anybody remember that example? Yes. Yeah. I was telling this last week, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Camel eats the thorns and the cactus, and the blood that comes, it goes inside the stomach and the camel feels it enjoying. So smoking and drinking, anything for that matter, the bhoga aishwarya which we are speaking here, all this list of things, they give a momentary feeling of enjoyment. But then comes the suffering afterwards. So you ask this question to yourself, it's a very deep topic which you can contemplate on and get personal realizations in this world. A simple example, say laddu. When you eat one laddu or one gulab jamun, in the beginning it is tasty. And then you eat the second one, very nice. Then somebody gives a third one, okay, it's all right, I'll take one. What about fourth one? I think this is good enough. Because my tongue is feeling a kind of, you know, saturation point. But okay, you're giving me a fourth one, I don't mind, I accept. Then they give you, they say, no, now I will force you to the fifth one, sixth one, seventh one, just imagine. You will say, I will die if you feed me like this. You cannot eat after some time. You get a kind of aversion to that. This happens to all kinds of enjoyment in this world. You can see that. Every material enjoyment has this nature, that you enjoy more and more and more. On one hand you get aversion, you are unable to enjoy further, but at the same time, again the craving will come later. The craving for enjoyment will come later. In this way, the soul is simply tossed in this world, just like a small piece of grass, which is tossed in a thick waves of the ocean. Repeatedly starts. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying. Anadi karma phale paribhavana vajale paribhavana deke upai. He thinks, my dear Lord, I don't know any upai, any method to escape from this kind of bhoga and tyaga of this world. He is saying, first you try to enjoy, enjoy, I want to enjoy gulab jamun, you enjoy. And after that, oh, I want to tyaga, I want to give it up, my Lord, I cannot eat anymore. And again you want bhoga, again you want tyaga. Same thing is applicable for all material enjoyments, for all of our senses. You can see that. That is the nature of this world. So it's like a pendulum. First you do bhoga, you get frustrated. Then you do tyaga, you go to other extent. After you do tyaga, again you feel, I want to enjoy again. Again you go to bhoga. And again you go to tyaga. So it goes back and forth like this. All kinds of enjoyments. You get aversion. But one does not want to refrain from these things permanently. One thinks, that time I didn't get enjoyment, maybe I will get it again. But this time maybe I can enjoy better. So Prabhupada Maharaj calls it as punaha punaha charvita charvanana. He says, chewing the same things again and again, chewing the chewed is called. You know the chewing gum? Chewing gum, when you first buy the chewing gum and you taste it, it appears very attractive. The flavor is there and everything. But after something, what happens? Some kind of, you know, it becomes like rubber, no taste. Then you just take it out and you, some children stick it under the bench. The bench like that. And class teacher comes. Then after the teacher goes away, then again you take it out and put it in the mouth. Again keep trying like that. So, although there are many different enjoyments, I was talking about this attraction to opposite sex prominently, because in countries like America, the modern man has realized that the mere bodily relationships do not bring any happiness. They found out that simply by man and woman uniting, the happiness is not everlasting. It comes to a very quick end, very shocking, but it comes to a very quick end. Often people go by the externals. In the Vedic times, people would see the boy's father and mother, and the girl's father and mother would see. So many matches they would see. Whether the boy's and girl's temperament is matching, whether their family status is matching, so that they don't have any quarrels later. And the swabhav, the nature is matching, it's very important. They would see all this. But in the modern times, the only basis on which marriages are decided hardly by parents, mostly decided by boys and girls, is a superficial attraction for one another. I am attracted to your external appearance, you are attracted to my appearance, so be married. And then you will find after some time that tension, frustration, because this kind of superficial thing cannot give any lasting happiness. That is the meaning of bhoga, what Krishna is saying here. It's bhoga. Bhoga is just enjoyment. Bhoga is prasaktana. Prasakta is attachment. So this kind of attachment leads in frustration. You know why? The example is given of a monkey. Once, a hunter had put some fruits in the hole of a tree. In a huge tree there was a hole and he had put some fruits inside that, a nut, for catching a monkey. This is the technique they use for catching a monkey. So the monkey came there, he put his hand inside the hole, he picked up some nuts like this. And he was about to take his hand out. But then the hand was stuck. He could not take his hand out because the hand was inside. And the hunter was coming in the opposite side. The monkey saw the hunter. Oh, now I have to run now. You are trying to run. But then the hand was stuck. So what do you think is the solution for the monkey? Yes, leave the nuts. Either he has to leave the nuts and he has to run from that. Or if he doesn't leave the nuts, what will happen? He has to get caught. He gets attachment. That's what he is saying. Prasaktana. That's what happens exactly. But generally, people of this world cannot give up attachment to the things of this world. And they go on trying. You go to Bombay and see, the trains are flooded with people. They are increasing the trains more and more. This question used to come to my mind, why should all people come to Bombay? Why don't they live in their own villages and earn some money and be happy? But people want more money, they come to Bombay. In Bombay you can see, trains are loaded and people are hanging out of the train. Morning to night they work hard like anything. And this attachment is very, very strong for everything. First they want to earn money, after earning money they want to enjoy life. They want bungalow and all material facilities, increased material facilities. Now, considering the material facilities, modern science certainly has been appreciated for giving us abundant material facilities. What they have not given us. In those days, if you have to make a phone call to America, it's a big thing. You have to go to your booth, you have to make a registration there, you have to book a trunk call. After 2-3 hours, you may probably get an invitation. Then you may get connected to them like that. Today, everything is in your fingertips. You have mobile, you can call anywhere, all around the world. Now you have roaming also, roaming facilities. Anybody can call you from anywhere in the world. In those days, if people have to go from one place to another, my father used to tell me, they had this buses are cars. They would put the coal and they would create the fire and everything. And the village people would register that next week I want to go, Like 1 week later, after many, many people book the ticket and then they would all sit and then the vehicle would move, Now today if you want to go in every 15 minutes, every 10 minutes there is a bus. There are flights and transportation has increased so much. So communication systems have increased so much, emails, the computers, transportation has increased so much. So in every field of science, certainly man has advanced very, very greatly. But despite all these advancements, has all these material facilities made man happier? Is a big question mark. Can all these facilities make the world a deathless place, or a diseaseless place, or a place where no one gets old age? Can it make like that? Man has no ability to touch this zone. It's not possible. In fact, the modern material advancements can only accelerate the man's death by creating a nuclear bomb. Nowadays you see America-Iraq war is going on. They are coming up with powerful weapons to kill millions of people. This is one thing man can do. But you cannot save life. You cannot protect life. You cannot avoid death. In fact, it was already tried long ago by Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu had the maximum advancement of his time. It is said the meaning of the word Hiranya and Kashipu. Hiranya means gold. Kashipu means soft bed, which represents the woman. Hiranyakashipu means he wanted to enjoy women, all kinds of women, and he wanted to enjoy wealth. That was his goal of his life. That was the ultimate goal for him. And he wanted to enjoy these two things for all time to come, so that nobody can disturb him. So he performed severe penance to Brahmaji. He worked very hard. And he also achieved a very high status. He achieved the Indra Padavi. It is said, all of you are able to hear me? It's clear? Volume is good. It is said, all the devatas would shiver in front of Hiranyakashipu. And it is said, even in out of season, the mango tree will be producing mangoes. Apple tree will be producing apples. Even when it was out of season, even at that time. When it was actually hot summer season, there would be heavy torrents of rain pouring. That means he could even control the nature. Can our scientists do that? How much ability our modern scientists have to change the course of nature? Now in modern life, we only see tiny Hiranyakashipu. They don't have such power to control the nature. But Hiranyakashipu could control the whole nature. He would get rains whenever he wanted. He would get fruits from in the trees at any time he wanted. He was getting all facilities, enjoying. He was enjoying life like anything. But no one to ask him why. No one to control him. All the demigods, devatas would come to his folded palms, offering gifts and they'll go away. Even Indra would salute him. That was his position. So, Hiranyakashipu, he was killed for some time. He was killed by Lord Narasimhadev. Lord broke open his chest and killed him. Such a great person. Modern Hiranyakashipus are like tiny Hiranyakashipus. They have no power to control the nature or change the course of nature. So, material enjoyment, no matter how much one endeavors in a one-sided way to make his life better and happier and happier, the intelligent person can clearly see that I am always tempted in all my endeavors for increasing my happiness. Even if a person says, I am currently happy, I have no problem. But how long will that no problem situation last? Like many people desire to go to America. Is it why they want to go to America? Because there are a lot of facilities. It appears to us as if there is America is a non-suffering zone and the frontiers of America, you know, soldiers are standing to avoid suffering. You know? But any place you go to America, you go to Australia, you go to Canada, you come to India. In all these places, there are four problems. And there are four problems. What are the four problems? Yes, old age, death, disease and birth. Everyone gets this. If you think America and Israel get the pain what you are getting, you are getting the same pain. Like we undergo suffering, they also are suffering. Nobody can become free from suffering. On the contrary, these material facilities supplied by the scientists, what do? They put us in a deeper intoxication. Like in America they say, if you go to the laboratories in America, they call it as a resting room. Huh? They call it as a resting room. The resting room means, it's like almost like a hall like this. This much big laboratories they have. And when a person goes to pass school, now he is surrounded by so many things. There is this rotating thing. Like he can play a video games, or he can move it. You know, then he can play something else, or he can read some magazines, or he can move it ahead. He can do some accounting or calculation. So people do all this work sitting in the lavatory. You know? And the lavatory is the clean place. You know? So one tends to feel that, you know, this world is a very happy place. Even the lavatory is so nice. One tends to become attached to this world. But the reality is different. The body emits such abominable things like the stool and urine. All the nine holes of the body, they bring out such abominable things. We all know it ourselves. We all have a body and it's a machine and it is producing all these horrible things that come out of this body. So it is very easy by the modern technology to cover up the reality, the harsh realities of this world. Just like somebody has a white hair, he puts some, you know, garter's hair dye or something and you look black. So in this way you can cover up the reality. That is why modern scientific advancement means finding out newer and newer ingenious ways of covering up the reality. So that you don't see them anymore. But although you may not see them, the reality is a reality. You can't deny that. That is suffering. And then if you don't address the suffering now, why am I suffering, where am I going and all that, then what happens after this one again gets the body. Again undergo the same troubles again and again. Everyone in this world is trying to make the situation better. Yeah, some are trying to make it better and better. So let me live happily. How long can one live happily? So death is of course going to come later, but then diseases are coming even before that. Old age comes before that. So when we talk of this bhoga aishwarya, one has to give up. It is not possible for a person to simply detach oneself from all this, leave everything and go to some holy place, go to Dwaraka, Vrindavan, go to Himalaya somewhere, leave everything, so I won't enjoy anything of this world. I don't want anything because, you know, I should not enjoy eating very nicely. Because if I eat gulab jamun, then after some time I get tyag, bhoga and tyag and suffering. So some people foolishly come to a conclusion that because I am eating, I am getting this aversion to that. So they want to give up attachment and aversion. So what they do, they give up the whole eating process and they eat some kandamol and roots. They go to the forest and eat like that. And they think because woman is the opposite sex, a woman for man and man for woman, attraction is there, so I should not live in the city. Let me leave everything and go to the forest. And live in a place where I will never get to see the opposite sex. And because if I smell the fragrant flowers, I will become attached. So I should never smell fragrant flowers. And I should never look at beautiful forms. I should never hear sweet sounds. So in this way they try to suppress all the senses. Ashtanga yogis and jnanis like that. But this is not at all the procedure that is explained in the Shastra. If one has to really conquer the senses, the Shastra says this kind of artificially restraining the senses to control them and try to fix up on the soul or super soul and do meditation is very difficult. Why? Because doing like this is exactly like catching a tiger or a lion and tying a rope around the neck and tie it to your pole and keep it. Will it keep quiet? If you catch a tiger and keep it in your house, you always be struggling, you will be trying to escape from that. So artificially restraining the senses like this and not enjoying this bhoga and aishwarya He is like simply controlling animal and keeping it like that. Anytime this animal will attack you and it will run away again back into the forest. It may even kill the master who controls him like that. So, Shastras explain very clearly the procedure by which one can become truly detached from all these things, attachments of all these things. It is said, sometimes when you drink excess milk, what happens? You get diarrhea. You know diarrhea? When you drink excess milk, then you are getting continuously, you have to go to the latrine every now and then like that. So anybody knows Ayurvedic medicine for that diarrhea? You heard of any Ayurvedic medicine? What is the medicine? There is easy medicine, home medicine. For controlling diarrhea, what do we take? Does anybody know? Actually, in modern times, we all consume some pills. So we may not be so much aware of it. Yes?
Curd.
Curd, exactly. Curd, yeah. If you take curd, immediately it will arrest diarrhea. That's the easy method. If you see milk and curd, they come from the same dhatu, milk only, isn't it? So curd is another form of milk. So one form of milk is causing diarrhea, another form of milk is arresting the diarrhea, stopping the diarrhea. Similarly, the Shastras tell us a very intelligent way. They say that this bhoga and aishwarya, attachment to all these things which I was talking till now, this is causing diarrhea. What is the diarrhea we are suffering? Birth, old age, this is death, again and again, repeatedly we are suffering. So Shastras are telling a very intelligent way by which one can escape from this suffering even while living in this world. That is the principle of Yukta Vairagya. They say that why are you suffering? Because the living being is trying to enjoy these things for one's own self. So don't try to enjoy these things for yourself. You offer it to God in service to Him. Then you will get real happiness. And for example, Krishna says, many examples will be given. Arjuna and Duryodhana. You take the example of Arjuna and Duryodhana. Arjuna had a chariot, Duryodhana also had a chariot. Arjuna had a bow and arrow, Duryodhana also had. So both of them looked almost alike in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But then Arjuna was fighting for the pleasure of Krishna. But Duryodhana was fighting for whom? For his own gratification of his senses. In the same way, the Shastras advise us, don't struggle hard in this world to gratify your own senses. That is considered to be selfishness. And you can never become happy in that pursuit. It is a useless pursuit. The more you chase after the sense objects, running here and there for enjoyment, with all these things, as I was telling you, wealth, women, wine, and all kinds of objects for each of the senses, like the eyes, ears, and nose, and tongue, and everything, skin. There are five indriyas with which you enjoy. You can never get happiness. The Shastras say, you engage them in God's service, then you will get enjoyment. For example, when we eat prasad, we first offer it to Krishna. As a bhoga. The bhoga we give it to Krishna. Bhoga we don't enjoy. Bhoga we give it to Krishna. What do we enjoy? Enjoy the mercy, the prasad that comes later. Similarly, Krishna gives a principle. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamasi bharatashava. He says that sex that is born of religious principles is me, Krishna says. That means, if a man and woman marries and within regulated life they have sex, then it is considered to be a religious principle. Otherwise it is considered irreligious. Sex outside marriage is considered irreligious like that. Similarly, not only with eating and everything, like smelling also. In our temple we offer the flower, first Krishna, Nashanga Devi offer the scent. And then the scent is put in everyone's hand. You have seen that? Morning they put in the temple. So we smell that scent. It's not that we cannot enjoy. We can enjoy the smell. Because the smell is offered to God first. Similarly, we're enjoying delicious preparations. We enjoy such nice sweets like sweet rice and sandesh and rasagulla and what not. But it is offered to God, so it is harmless. It is karma-free diet. It doesn't cause any karma. It doesn't cause any bondage. Similarly, one can live a happy family life with wife, children, family, father, mother, grandchildren, grandmother, provided one lives in accordance to the devotional principles. That one chants the holy names, one chants, one reads the shastras and understands. One makes way for the ultimate goal of life. Where is my life leading me to? After death I am going back to Godhead. That understanding is very important. With that one leads one's life. In this way one makes one's wife, children and all relatives Krishna conscious like that. So this is the process of spiritualizing our material life. We all have material life. Like it is not possible for one to leave husband or wife or children, everything, to become a charge and go to the forest. There was one Jain sadhu, not a sadhu, he was a very rich man. One day he got wisdom in the mind. He thought that now I have to know the world. Do you know what he did? He climbed up on the back of an elephant and he had a big box full of jewels and pearls and navaratnas. All his wealth he transformed them into rubber and navaratnas. And he opened the box, he went to the street and started throwing all the pearls in the street, saying that now I am going to do tyaga of everything. I am renouncing everything of this world. I am going to be a tyagi, great tyagi now. I am going to become a sadhu now. What do you think about this? Is it a very intelligent idea? Anybody can tell me what's wrong in this? Why should we think God's service? Anybody know? Because it belongs to God originally. What kind of charge can we do in this world? When we enter this world, did we bring anything with us? We came with a naked body. We didn't even have this dress. So in the dress we have purchased from God. We came with a naked body. We own nothing in this world. And we leave this world also with nothing. So we don't possess anything to renounce in the first place. Like, you know, if I come to this house and say, I renounce this fan, I renounce this television, I renounce this fridge, how foolish it is. When I come to this house, these things don't belong to me. How can I renounce these things? The Prabhupada would laugh at those people. What kind of renunciation can we do? We can't renounce anything in this world. We can only do one thing. We can take these things and use them in God's service, understanding that these things belong to Krishna. That's what we can do. So there are three types of people. Bhogi, Tyagi and Bhakta. What does a bhogi do? Like if a bhogi is walking in the street, he is seeing a purse filled with, you know, 500 rupee notes. Saying, oh, today is a lucky day for me. I got about 50,000 rupees lying in a purse. Very wonderful. He will take that purse, he will take the money, he will go to a hotel, enjoy, spend it all in his own enjoyment. He is called as a bhogi. Such a bhogi will be punished. Because he is enjoying another person's property. And there is another person who is tyagi. What does the tyagi do? He says, oh, this person is not mine, I will not touch it. I don't want to touch others' money. He goes away. He is a tyagi. And a tyagi is good because of his honesty. But he is not considered as great as a bhakta. What would a bhakta do? Bhakta would see the purse, he would take it and see the photograph, he would see the identity card, see the person's address, and he would go and hand it over to the person. Sir, you lost this purse. Just kindly accept it. This is all your money. So he will not take a penny from that to enjoy himself. He is called as a bhakta. So, in the same way, when we are born in this world, we are all seeing so many things in this world. Everything is there in this world. But if you take these things, like the pearls and jewels that are arising from the oceans, and the minerals that are coming from the mountains, and the grains and the fruits that are coming from the mother earth, and the land, the vast expanse of land that is existing around us, in which we build our homes and houses for shelter. For my sustenance, let me thank him and accept only my quota. This is the quota I need, and I will take it and I will be happy. And I will thank God with gratitude for giving me this. Such a bhakta is greatly appreciated. On the other hand, if one becomes like this, Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktana. Prasakta, the meaning of the word Prasakta means Asakta. Asakta is the kind of intoxication that comes from attachment. One puts a hook in the facilities of this world and gets stuck up there. You see, there are houses of so many people. They go, they have a huge compound wall and a huge gate, and they put a board, beware of dogs. So when friendly people go to preach to them, they see that beware of dogs. And the big door, how can you enter them and preach? Like I went to a house in Kalyaninagar. So we want to preach to a man. So we saw the big board and beware of dogs and the huge gate. You cannot even see who is inside the house. And they lock the house and they may watch television, they may do all kinds of activities. And the entire life, from womb to tomb, they spend inside the house. And then they say, they particularly die with no knowledge of God. So this is prasakta. And this kind of asakti, this attachment, what happens? Attachment to eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Spending one's life like this. That is contempt. As you see, there is a kind of bee, like a honeybee. There is a kind of honeybee. This bee is capable of poking a hole even in a tree. It can poke a hole in a tree and poke, poke, poke like this and come from the other side. It can put a through hole in a tree. Such is the power of this bee. But the same bee, when he goes into a lotus flower and sucks the honey, he gradually gets intoxicated. His head starts swelling like this. And then he goes into a very dizzy state. And then in the night, in the evening, what happens is the lotus starts closing. Once the lotus closes, this poor bee, he is unable to come out. You see, the lotus petals are far more softer than the wooden tree. It should be very easy for him to, you know, break through that and come. But because of the intoxicated state, he cannot come out. That is his problem. But he is so intoxicated that he cannot poke a hole even in the soft lotus petal. And next day morning you will see them pitiably dead. You have seen that? They will be dead like that. Same thing Krishna is saying here. That the soul is originally pure. And the soul in this world is wandering in different bodies for enjoyment. So how can the soul again revive his Krishna consciousness and achieve Krishna back? If he has to do that, he has to be detached. How can he become detached? Detachment means don't try to enjoy and exploit the things of this world. Rather take them and use them in Krishna's service. Because if you try to enjoy and exploit them for your own enjoyment without reference to God, nowadays people have so many parties, so many programs, like you go to this Disneyland or Essel World, Disney World, Essel World. These are all simply creations of man, imaginary creations of man, simply to put himself in a phantasmagoria, so that he can forget the sufferings of this world. Just see what a kind of he is just imagining some kind of happiness so that he can forget the constant pricking of this world. Actually, ideally speaking, one should find out a solution how to get out of this world by properly leading a Krishna conscious life. But one is putting himself in a state of dreamy situation to forget the problems of the world. And so when one enjoys more and more, just like this Nalakur and Manigri, they were sons of very rich Kubera. Kubera was actually treasurer of the demigods. So because of that they became intoxicated. Because their father was so rich. And they were drinking wine and enjoying with naked women in Mandakini Ganga. At which time Narvani saw them and he cursed them to become trees in their next life. I told you the story before. So because they had abundant wealth, they were enjoying all the things, enjoying in the name of enjoying life, actually they were suffering. So once Prabhupada, while walking, he saw in the ocean, one man was swiftly, behind a boat, they do the surfing. You know the surfing? He was doing surfing. So Prabhupada asked, what is he doing there in the ocean? And they were, because they were fast, go like this in the surface of the ocean without drowning inside. Something like skating kind of thing. So Prabhupada said, what is he doing with that boat? One disabled person, Prabhupada, he is surfing. And Prabhupada was seeing that probably for the first time. He said, is he surfing or is he suffering? Nowadays man wants a foolish thrill. Man goes to great heights on a helicopter or on a plane. From there they come down with a closed parachute. You all know this? You have seen that? They come down to a closed parachute and they are almost falling. Almost at half the distance the parachute opens after that. And then they land down like that. So this is considered very thrilling. Brushing with death. So all this is varieties of suffering of this world. Simply the conditioned soul is running here and there looking for different types of enjoyment in various things of this world. So then one becomes like this honeybee covered over by the lotus. So simply one spends eating, sleeping, mating, defending, punah punah charivita charvanaram, chewing the same thing chewed. One cannot get any happiness. One is led to frustration. Prabhupada is in Paris, he found that. When he was in Paris, from the top of his con building, Prabhupada was watching. Old men, above 80, 90 years old, they were going to the bars and restaurants. And they were taking out hundreds and thousands of dollars and they were paying to these prostitutes to see the naked dancers. So Prabhupada said, see these people, they cannot enjoy now, they have no shakti in their body. So they are paying money to at least see the dance. Prabhupada said. And these people are importing monkeys, sex plants from India, because India has a lot of monkeys. They are importing that purpose thing. So Prabhupada said, these people want to import monkey glands now to further increase their enjoyment in this life, but the nature will assure them to get monkey's bodies in the next life. because they want to behave like monkeys, simply prolonging the enjoyment in life. Prabhupada used to say like this. He writes in the purport like this. So, life is not meant for wiring away our valuable time and the human form of life. Where we have to realize, I am not this body, I am the soul, I am Krishna's eternal servant. I am running here and there, such enjoyment which I cannot get in this world. Actual enjoyment lies with Krishna. Or, actual enjoyment can be achieved by linking with Krishna through the Guru-Shishya Parampara. One has to realize that point. So, Tantra says, Saya Appahrita Chetasa. Appahrita means like this, pulled. Like you have seen this, in the villages they have this bull. The bull's nose, they put a rope. Once they put this rope in the mouth and the nose, finished. Then you can give that rope even to a small child. Once the child pulls that rope, immediately the bull has to go in that direction only. Like that, this is what happens due to attachment. When we become very attached to a thing for the world, it weakens us. It makes us lose our determination in spiritual life. That's why samadham na vidyate, he says. You lose samadhi, you lose concentration in spiritual life. Just like you see, we have a program here. So many people have been coming. Where are they all gone? People come, 1 week they come, and then you see them, they don't come for 6 months. And then they come. Because this bhogasya of this world is attracting every living entity. And then when one gets some enjoyment, he thinks, okay, now I don't need God for some time. God is meant for poor man. I don't need. And then when they get a kick, oh, okay, now I have to hear about God. They may come and they may hear a little bit. So the bhoga and aishwarya are very, very intoxicating. They make us almost like, they take us to a dreamy, intoxicated state. So one has to be aware of this. That is why the brahmanas always keep themselves poor. Like myself, Brahmachari, why do we wear this dress? Why do we wear simple dress? Why do we shave up? We shave up our heads so that we don't keep any special hairstyle. We keep a very beautiful hairstyle, then you become attached to the body like that. Or if you wear very costly garments and dresses, then you attract the opposite sex by that. So, and also living a simple life, we don't maintain any bad balance at all. We completely depend on God, so that God can always protect us. So we purposefully accept this kind of lifestyle. One of the main purposes, as it is said in the scriptures, is by keeping ourselves in this kind of situation, one cannot become intoxicated. Because how can a poor man be proud? Then it's not possible to be proud. But at the same time, one who has bodily beauty, or one who has riches, or one who has great education, or one who has a high birth in the Brahmana family or whatever, such people can become proud if they don't use them in God's service. So you all are very fortunate, you come from very good families, but somehow or other, by some good fortune, you have become connected to Krishna. So that is your greatest boon. If you didn't become connected, probably you will not know where you will be going, where you will go and what you will do. This world is like a vast ocean. We all get lost in this world. We may wander here and there, and our life will simply end without any meaning and in great disappointment. We may just lead our life. So every day we do the same activities. Every day you wake up in the morning, you pass through and urine clear, and you take bath, you eat food, and then you are attached to so many people, and you have some temporary exchange of love which will be terminated by death. And we all spend our life like this. At one point of time, the body is finished. Then the soul goes to another body and it goes on. That is why it is called as Raja Vidya. It's called Brahma Vidya, Raja Vidya. It's a very, very great science. If you know this knowledge, there is no greater valuable jewel than this knowledge. To understand that I am Krishna's servant and I am wandering in different bodies, and this bhoga and aishwarya, they are attaching me to this world. I should not become attached. I will see that I always lead a pure life by always living a very Krishna conscious life. So you all are chanting Hare Krishna every day. That keeps you very sane. Actually, if you are coming to this program regularly, that's only because you have some appreciation for the knowledge and you have appreciation for chanting. That makes you calm. And you will understand more and more deeper. So this is called as Yukta Vairagya. I was telling you the example of milk and curd. So milk and curd come from the same source, milk only. The same thing Krishna says, having wife, children, family is not bad. Having wealth is not bad. Having a big education is not bad, provided you dovetail all these things in my service, Krishna says. Then it becomes sanctified, it becomes purified. Just like take a loha, take a iron piece, it's very cold, you put it in fire. And then when you put it in fire, gradually the heat will increase, increase, increase. Then the rod will become like red hot, then after it becomes white hot, and it is burning so hot that when you take it out and put it on a paper, it will burn that paper. Similarly, we become completely spiritualized by connecting all these things to Krishna. Like you see, Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita the example of Janaka Maharaj and Ambarish Maharaj and all. Such great kings, they were kings, they were having ministers and they were having elephants and horses and hundreds and thousands of soldiers to salute them. They had many, many queens, they had huge vast kingdom. But with all these things, because they were God conscious, they were remaining pure. They would regularly pray to God and chant God's names and enter service to God. Like Ambarish Maharaj used all his senses in serving Krishna. Like eyes to see Krishna, leg to walk to the temple of Krishna. So in this way they purified their life by connecting everything that they had to Krishna like that. This is called as Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means, this is the real Vairagya. Not the Vairagya like that Jaina was telling you, throwing away everything, all the pearls and jewels in the street. Actually all the sinful people will pick up those things and they will use it for continuing their sinful life. If you throw like that. It should be used in God's service. You have to know who is the proprietor of all that we possess. Everything in this world belongs to Krishna. Krishna says that. Bhokta aham, he says. Bhokta aram jyakneta pasam. Aham ji sarva ajnana bhokta chakrabhadevasa. I am actually the bhokta. I am actually the enjoyer. I am actually the controller, Krishna says. So engage it in his service. Like that. In this way he says samadho nividhiyate. Samadho means a pinpointed concentration in spiritual life. When can it happen? When one is not attached to this kind of bhoga and aishwarya. And one can come out of this kind of asakti. I'll conclude with one small story in the end. I'm very sorry for delaying with that big noise today. There was a devotee of Shiva, Lord Shiva. He was worshipping Shiva for a long time. He was telling Shiva that please give me wealth, please give me gold, please give me silver, he was praying like that. One day because of his very intense prayer, Lord Shiva appeared to him. And Lord Shiva told him that you wanted abundant wealth. So I will suggest you one thing, you better go to, there is a great devotee called Sanatan Goswami. He go to him, he can offer you all that you desire. Anything you desire, he can offer you. Go to him. Sanatan Goswami is a very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went to Sanatan Goswami. So he told him that my master Lord Shiva told me that you have got a special touchstone. Touchstone is Chintamani. You know Midas? Midas was having the Chintamani. Chintamani means a touchstone with which anything you touch becomes gold. So he said, my master Shiva told me that you have got some touchstone. He told me that I should meet you and accept you. He told me that you can fulfill all my desires. Said, can you give me that? Then Sanatan told him that you look at the corner, there's a garbage dump. He searched that you will get it. Then he put his hand and removed everything and then finally found there was a big block which was like shining like sun, golden block. And he removed it. And it was a touchstone. With that, anything he touched became gold. Can you imagine? He went home. He was very happy. He touched so many things and turned them all into gold. He was very, very happy with all that. But then after a few days again he became frustrated. Although he had a lot of gold. He was wondering how this Sanatan Goswami, he had this touchstone money, parsa money, how he threw it in the dust then? That means he must be having something better than this. That is why he has thrown it in the dust then. Let me go to him and get that thing which is better than this. Then he went to him again. He asked, Swamiji, do you have anything better than this? If you have, please kindly give me. Sanatan said, yes, I have. But I can give you only if you take this touchstone, what I gave you already, go to the Ganges and throw it to the Ganges and come back. Then I will give you that. Then he went there to the banks of the Ganges. Then he looked at it, how can I throw this? Because it is so valuable. With this I can turn everything into gold. But if I throw this and if I don't get anything there, then I will be a big loser. So he was very much thinking, he would go near the river and he would come back and again he would go. At last he developed the conviction to throw it in the river. Crying, he threw it in the river and then he returned back to Sanatan. And then he bowed down at his feet and asked him, please tell me, what can I get from you, something better than what you gave me before.
Then Sanatana Goswami gave him the mala and told him, you chant this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasavigraha, Purna Shuddho, Nitya Mukto, Abhinnatum Nama Namina. He said, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra that I am giving you now, this is the original Chintamani. This can fulfill all your desires. You will not have any hankering. I gave you the Chintamani before. You took it home. But then you were hankering for it so much after that also. Even after getting it, you were not happy. Now I am giving you the real Chintamani. Take it. And then when you go home and you chant this, you will see that all your desires will be fulfilled. And then he gave him this Mahamantra. And then that fellow chanted that Mahamantra and became a great devotee. And one becomes a devotee, then all his desires are fulfilled. He doesn't have any hankering or he doesn't have any lamentation in this world. He feels only grateful to Lord for whatever the Lord has given in his life. And he feels love for every living being. And he feels love for Krishna. And in this way he starts seeing Krishna everywhere and in everything that he sees. In this way, owing to that intense love that he develops for Krishna, he feels only the whole world to be like a Vaikuntha. This becomes like a spiritual world for such a devotee. Such a devotee doesn't need anything material to satisfy him. For example, if something that is outside of me gives me satisfaction, say for example this Walkman gives me satisfaction, then what will happen if somebody steals this Walkman? That means my happiness also is stolen, isn't it? But by chanting Hare Krishna, you get happiness here, inside, which can never be stolen away from you. That is something within you. That is the connection between soul and super soul, Atma and Paramatma. When that link is put, then the connection gives such a joy which can never be stolen from you. It's a permanent asset for you. So this benediction was given by Sanatana Goswami to him. So just answer from the story, how this person had to give up that Chintamani stone for the sake of getting the holy name. Similarly, all of us, we are attached to so many things of the world. Ravana was attached to Sita, which was a long attachment. Hiranyakashipu was attached to all the powers that were originally possessed by demigods. So all these demons, they existed, and the Lord came and killed them. At the same time, they also teach us a valuable lesson that in our own lives also, if we have the demonic mentality of enjoying the Lord's property without reference to the Lord, we have to give up that propensity. And we should always engage everything in the Lord's service. And like the formula is said, whatever minimum is required for oneself and maximum for Lord's service. One's heart should be very, very broad. In this way, one should live a very pure life. Pure life following chanting Hare Krishna, following the regulatory principles, reading the Shastras, and living a life of God consciousness. Then one will see that from the material attachment, one gets spiritual attachment. Gradually the material attachment will weaken and you will get a spiritual attachment. In that one can really love everyone in this world. I have seen in families the children's love for the parents and the husband's love for the wife and wife's love for the husband and the grandparents' love for the grandchildren. These things become really thick when Krishna becomes the center. Because everyone knows that we all have to die one day. And nobody can stop it. We all have to die. But what gives us the great joy is, I have achieved Krishna in my life and I have given Krishna to my relatives. And all of us are going back to the same address. Golok is our address. So, if you go there, you'll meet your father, you'll meet your mother, you'll meet your husband, wife, children, everyone there. They all are going to come to the same address. Whereas, if you don't become Krishna conscious, we all go to different addresses. Somebody becomes a dog, somebody becomes a demigod, somebody becomes a tree. You will lose everyone. So let us all go back to the same address by developing attachment to Krishna by keeping him in the center. Hare Krishna.